welcome to this awesome episode in the Knoxville First Church podcast. My name is Jason Scott. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so thankful you have joined us today. I believe you've made a great choice, so buckle up, get ready, and let's grow together.
I want you to just take just a moment for me, if you aren't scared, to just shut your eyes in the room. Nothing's going to happen to you, I promise. Just shut your eyes in the room. And I wanted you to just think about, just for a moment, think about the deepest valley you've ever been in. And I don't mean physical valley, but the deepest valley you found yourself in your life, the hardest thing that you've went through, the place that you never thought you'd get out of. Just take yourself there for a second. Sit in that moment. Sometimes, for some of us, it's really, really hard to go there. Matthew 1, verse 23 says this, as you sit in that place. It says, "Behold, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for this worship time. I thank you, Lord, for this scripture that we're about to study and what you're about to do and how you're about to show yourself to us in every valley, in every mountaintop, and in every place, God, that we find ourselves. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. It's in your name we pray. We say together as a church, amen. For Christians, it's really, really easy to believe that God is with us on the mountaintops. It's easy for us to believe that God is with us when we win. Amen? God is with us when we get a raise. God is with us when we have healthy children. God is with us when everything is going great. God is with us even when we get the parking spot at the mall up towards the front. Like, we believe God is with us in the times that we find ourselves standing on the mountaintops, hands raised. We scream out, "Thank you, God, for being here with me in this, for blessing me with this." It's so easy for us to find God on the mountaintops. But as believers, even as the most faith-filled believers, we find it much more difficult to find God and believe that God is with us in the valleys. The valley in which you just took yourself to. For some of us, again, that might have been really, really hard, and it might be still fresh on you. And you might be living in a valley even right now. And I'm here to tell you today that as hard as it is to believe that God is with you in that valley, He is. Amen? He is. God is with you in that valley. God is with you every step you take, every move you make. We live in a culture right now. We live in a culture that wants us to believe this false narrative, believe this false assumption, believe this false truth that the lack or the absence of mountaintops must equal the absence of God. And this is a false statement. It's a false belief that the absence of mountaintops, if I'm not on top of a mountain, if things aren't going great for me, if my family is not winning and we're great and everything's awesome, if my health is not perfect, if my business isn't succeeding, whatever the case, we live in this society and we see it and hear it, and it sometimes overflows into us, and we have to push back against this false assumption. This false belief that the absence of mountaintops equals the absence of God. That's not true. Everybody say, that's not true. We have to understand that and believe that today. But the truth is this. The truth is this. Even when we find ourselves in valleys, God is with us. Even there. Even in that stinky place that you don't like being and hanging out in. And you really want to say, How dare you, God, put me in this place? Or why am I going through this? There must not be a God if I'm having to go through these things. Don't let that truth be told in your life or over you. And don't receive that from outside forces. Don't let the world teach you that, your mama teach you that, your sister, your brother, or anybody else. Understand that even in the valleys, the truth is, God is with us. Amen? He's still there. He's still there. When you get caught doing the wrong thing and you have to actually suffer the consequences, he's still there. Amen? He's still there. He didn't leave you. He didn't forsake you. God is still there. We're going to see this in the story that we're going to study today. If you want to go ahead and get your Bibles out, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 18. If you didn't bring a Bible with you and you wanted to grab the one in front of you, I actually found it for you. It's on page 676. You don't even have to look very hard. You can get there quickly. There's a Bible in front of you there. Page 676, Matthew chapter 1, verse 676. Page 676. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. But before we actually start reading that portion of Scripture, I want to look at something that oftentimes pastors leap over because it's not fun to read. Many of you in the room have probably never read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. You like to just jump ahead to 18, and it's because there's a lot of hard names to read, okay? But here's the deal. Many times we skip over this list of ancient names and unpronounceable names. But here's the deal. I want you to understand. This list of names that we like to jump past is a vital part of the gospel record. Just know this. It wouldn't be in the Word if it wasn't important. Amen? Nothing put in this Bible is insignificant. Let me just say it that way. Everything in here has a purpose and a plan for us. So why would these names be in here? I believe that it shows Jesus Christ is a part of history from beginning to the end, that all Jewish history prepared the way for his birth. Okay? And it's showing us that God in his providence ruled and overruled to accomplish his purpose in bringing his son to the world. It's saying, follow the lineage. Look at all of these names from this point to this point. Now we have a man named Jesus. And what I want us to come and draw from this, and what I want us to get straight before we jump into verse 18, is that God is in all and over all things. And that's what he's showing us there. He's, you know, the writer Matthew, he's listing all of these big names. If you guys want to try to read them, you can. I'm not going to. I'm going to embarrass myself if I try, right? We're not going to do that today. We're going to skip to 18. Go read it tonight on your own. And you can look up how you say all the names. But the point is, and why Matthew put it in there, is to help us see that God is in all and over all things. That from the beginning to the end, from every single person in that list, it was leading up to Jesus. To Jesus. Praise God for that. And we have to understand, he's in all and over all things. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's start reading there. And here's what I want us to do. Anybody ever looked at the books or had a book, the Where's Waldo book? Where's Waldo? Come on. You know those? The red and white shirt guy, and they put him in different places in the book, and he's hard to find sometimes, and you can buy harder and harder books. Here's what I want us to do when we start reading this scripture today. I'm going to read all the way through, and then we're going to go back and talk about parts of the scripture. But I want you to look for and find the valleys in this story, the place you took yourself to, the hard parts of this story that's like, woo, man, that's a valley. Okay? If you want to, you can yell out valley while I'm reading. If you don't want to and you're like, yeah, it's not appropriate, you don't have to, but I'm gonna read it, okay? And let's find the valleys in this story. If you're ready to read Matthew chapter 18 or Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, say, I'm ready. Here we go, ready. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet: "Behold, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, say it with me, "God with us." How many valleys did you find? There was multiple valleys throughout this story. Multiple valleys. Let's go back and see if we can find some of these valleys in this story. It says in verse chapter, starting back at 18, it says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, she was still a virgin and she became pregnant." Somebody say, that's a valley. That's a valley. Put yourself in that place and in that time. This virgin named Mary is excited to marry this hunk of a man named Joseph. Like, just so excited to start this new life. And all of a sudden, she finds herself pregnant. Somebody say, that's a valley. I mean, that's a valley, right? Everything was going to be perfect for her. And we can relate. We have plans. We have things that we want to accomplish and things that we want to do, and we're looking forward to it. And all of a sudden, sometimes we wake up and all of a sudden there's a valley. Your life has changed in a split moment. That's the story of Mary. Excited young girl to be married to Joseph. And she finds herself in a valley, confused, not knowing what's going to happen. Now, before we move on, I want to talk about the power of this verse so that we can get a little deeper. This doctrine is important for our faith, by the way. If you call yourself a follower of Christ Jesus, you have to understand this doctrine. Because there's a truth that every single child is born into the world totally a new creature. Amen? Every one of you all were. I was. We were born into this world a totally new creature. But Jesus Christ, okay, was born different. Being eternal, okay, being eternal God, he existed before Mary and Joseph or any of his ancestry or any of the list. At the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, it says, "The Word was with God and the Word was God." Who is the Word? Somebody say Jesus. It says from the beginning, Jesus was there. And this is different than me and you. And we have to understand this in our faith journey and understand this as very strong truth doctrine in our faith. That Jesus was different than us. That he was born not of man, but of what? The Holy Spirit. And that's what it says there. It says she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the doctrine of the virgin birth that me and you all have to agree upon and live out and understand that this is how Jesus came. Because without this, everything else falls apart. Amen? We have to understand this to be true. It goes on in verse 19. So we found one valley. It was Mary, pregnant. She didn't want to be. She didn't know how she became that way. Right? She's upset, lost. Oh my goodness. What's going to happen now? What's Joseph going to think of me? What are the people going to think of me? And often that's where our valleys come from. Not what like we think, but what we think other people think about what we've done and who we are. And the enemy allows the outside forces to get us into a valley that we feel like we can't ever get out of. And that's where Mary had to be, right? Full of guilt, shame. How dare you, Mary? And it says in verse 19, there was a man named Joseph too, to whom she was engaged. And he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. How about that, Valley? Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. I found me the perfect woman, and I'm going to marry her next month or whenever it was going to be. And now I find out that she's pregnant. And I don't know how she became pregnant, but I don't know yet. But he's about to find out through the power of God. I don't know that there's even this Holy Spirit that can this is strange to me. In his mind, he's thinking he's in a valley because his soon-to-be wife named Mary slept around. That's a valley. Somebody say, that's a valley. I mean, I know for me, if I found that out about Amy before I was about to marry, I'd be like, whoa, huge valley. And he is going to break off the marriage. That's a valley. He finds himself there. And this was a big deal to the Jewish people because in that day, engagement was equivalent to marriage, except that the man and woman did not live together yet, right? And they were called husband and wife. And at the end of an engagement period, the marriage would be consummated. And if an engaged woman became pregnant, it was considered adultery. But Joseph did not want to punish her and divorce her. He was a righteous man. He thought about it. He didn't want to make it public. He was just going to walk away and kind of like hide this valley. And then something happened in verse 20. It says, as he considered this valley that he was in, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I love how the angel from the very beginning lets Joseph know the purpose of Jesus. What was the purpose of Jesus? To save you and me, his people, from our sins. Not to just make us better people. Not for us to change our life a little bit to it morally, but to seriously save us from our sins. Can I pause for a second? God is saving people from their sins in this church. Today, listen to this. Today, there was a young man in that lobby before a lot of y'all were here, and he walked up to me and he said, Pastor Jason, I want to talk to you, and I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a really long time. And he walks me. He's this big. He walks me down this aisle. And he says, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. How about that? So we came up here and we prayed and he accepted Christ as his Savior. Next Sunday, y'all, and we might have three now, but next Sunday we have two children that are back there right now that are going to be baptized because of their profession of faith in Christ Jesus. What are those children doing? They're professing their faith in Christ and being saved from their sins. How many adults in this room need to make that decision? Instead of playing this game, thinking that you know enough and you're good enough, you do not get saved from your sins unless Scripture says you profess your faith in Christ Jesus. Not how much money you give to the church today or whether you were in the parade last night. Amen? That's why this whole story is being told forever and ever and ever for our sins to be forgiven. I'm thankful for that. Somebody else thankful? Say, I'm thankful. My goodness, I'm thankful. Because I sinned just like y'all, and he saved me from it and forgave me. And he's doing it even in our midst. Praise God. God met Joseph and spoke to Joseph in the middle of his valley, didn't he? Right in the middle of the valley. He is so broken. I've got to divorce this lady now. I can't marry her. And God met him right there, right in the middle of that valley. And what does this mean for me and you? What can we draw from that? I believe it means that as you walk through valleys, if you are willing to listen, God is also willing to meet you and speak to you in that valley. But you have to be willing, sensitive, and aware of his voice, of his words. And that's what happens a lot of times. We get so deep in a valley that we're unwilling to listen for any light, for any truth of God in it. We let the enemy win. But we can see right here, even in the valleys, God is with us. That's what I said from the beginning, right? The absence of mountaintops does not mean the absence of God. But even in your valley, God is with us. Verse 22 goes on to say, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. I'm not sure what valley you thought of when I asked you to go there at the beginning. But I thought of the deep valley that I was in back in 2019. It was about November 23rd, 24th. And life was good. It's great. It was great. I'm celebrating Thanksgiving with Amy's side of the family. We're all at cousin Chris and Paul's house celebrating. Well, at the same time in my house, my dad was dying of cancer. And that was hard. To be in one home, happy, acting like crazy happy Jason with all the nieces and nephews and riding around on fake animals. I mean, like being full of joy while knowing my dad was at my house. And 6 days later, maybe less than that, I don't know the actual number. 3 days later, probably on November 30th, my dad passes away and loses his battle with cancer. And I found myself in a valley. But you know what else I found in that valley? I found God. I found the ability to have a different perspective. And as my dad took his last breath in that room, and my mom began to cry, I looked at her and said, he did it. There's nothing to be upset about. Yes, we lost him, but he completed his task. He had a great life. He is with God now. God is with us in our valleys, and now God gets to meet Jesus face to face. And because I have that hope in Jesus, and because I know Jesus, while many others around me were like, this is not fair. I'm going, what are you talking about, fair or not? The absence of a mountaintop, which would mean my dad being alive and great, doesn't mean that God is absent. He is in this. I saw my family come to love each other more. I saw things happen that I never would have seen happen. I saw the gospel message go forth in a different way than it ever had to people that had never heard it. God was with us in that. He had a purpose in it. Did it feel good in the moment? No. But just because things don't feel good doesn't mean that God's not with you in it. There's a lot of things that don't feel good. But our emotions don't get to trump whether God is present. Amen. God is with us. Some of you are in a valley right now. And I don't know what that valley might be. But God is with you in it. You have your valleys and I have my valleys too. And here's what I've come to know. And this is like the big idea. That we enjoy God often in the mountaintops. But we get to know him deeper when we walk through the valleys. Let me say that again. We enjoy God on the mountaintops. It's fun to enjoy him there, but we get to know him deeper when we walk through the valleys. If we're willing to get to know him deeper. How? How is that possible? I don't know about this type of faith and this type of walk with the Lord. I've never even considered the fact that God is with us in the valley and that we can get to know him deeper in the valley. I thought that the valley was just supposed to push me away from God. No. How do we get to know him deeper? I find a scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Let me read it to you. It says, since then, listen, believer, listen. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above. Things on what? Above. Where Christ is seated. Where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2 says this. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What gets us in valleys? When we focus on earthly things, amen? But when we find ourselves in valleys, we have to learn to set our mind on things above, not the things below. That's how we find strength when we're walking in valleys. That's how we get to know him deeper. We don't focus on what we see. We focus on the unseen. We focus on God who says he will be with us in every space of our life. The goods, the bads, the ugly, the sads, all of it. God is with us. How do we get to know him deeper? We set our mind on things above. We don't let our friends say to you when you're going through something hard, oh, Yvonne, that's so unfair. You're such a good person. You should not have to go through that. Guess what? That's focusing on the worldly things. Amen? We're to set our minds on the things above and take our eyes off what the world wants us to look at. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 3 says this. So first we're to set our minds on the things above. Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, and this is the big part, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, now listen, lean into this part. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The valleys will make us weary and try to push back and help make us lose heart. And this says, consider him and fix your eyes on him. Don't fix your eyes on what you can see. Amen? So we have to learn to set our mind and fix our eyes. Set our mind on things above and fix our eyes on Jesus. Not allowing the things of the world to catch our attention and to convince us that this valley is too deep and too hard and we'll never get out of it. Believing that God is with us no matter where we find ourselves. My heart may be anxious, but my eyes are fixed on God. Amen? My soul may be aching because of what I'm going through, but my heart and my mind and my eyes are fixed on God. My emotions may be racing and I might not know what to do next because I'm in such a hard place, but my mind and my eyes are fixed on God. Amen? That in all things and in everything, we have our mindset on things above and our eyes fixed on God. This time of the year, there's too much to do. There's a lot going on. You might find your marriage in a bad place or your kids, man, they're just not doing what you really want them to do. You may find your work and your finances hurting and you don't know how to pay the next bill. While you think you're in this valley, you're struggling so much. But even in that moment, you have to set your mind and fix your eyes on Jesus. And you say to yourself, that's really good stuff. Woo! Mind fixed, eyes, you know, mindset, eyes fixed on God. But guess what? My valley's still there. It doesn't change the valley that I'm in. Right? When I leave here, there's still a valley, Lord. There's still a valley, Jason. I mean, you're doing a good job of convincing me of this fixed thing and this eye thing, but woo, it's still there. And it's not cool. and I don't like it. And I want to say this to you, that your valley is not your destination. Your valley is not your destination. You're just walking through it. You're just passing through. You're just passing through. Let me say this. Let me read it to you. It's not just my idea. Psalms 23 says it like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And then he says it like this. Even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. He says, even though I walk through the valley. He didn't say, even though I'm stuck in a valley. Even though this is my final destination. He says, even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So the valley that you find yourself in is not your final resting place. It is not your destination. It's not a place to set up camp, kumbaya, and make a fire and do some s'mores. It's not that place. It's a place in which you're walking through to grow in and go to the next thing that God has for you. Don't let that valley hold you captive. Amen. Don't stay there. If you stay there, you're allowing the enemy to take precedent over your God and his purpose for your life. God wants you to just walk through it and learn through it, not hang out in it. So you're right. Fixing your eyes and setting your mind on Jesus doesn't get you out of it, but it can give you a way out of it. It can give you a different perspective. Amen. It'll help you think differently. When you leave here today, you can say, man, that valley that we're in, I see things different. That I got a different perspective in this area now. It's not that deep. It's not that deep. But that valley really isn't much now that I think about it. You may be in a valley, but remember, a valley is not your destination. You're just passing through. You're just passing through. God never said you won't go through valleys. He never said it. We should do a message. We should do a series called God Never Said. God never said you won't go through valleys. What he did say is that you will never go through valleys alone. Let me say it again. He never said you won't go through valleys. He said you'll never go through valleys alone. God is with us. When God chose to send Jesus to this earth to be born of a virgin, and those guys, Mary and Joseph, had these valleys going on and then met them through the power of the Holy Spirit and changed their perspective, that valley disappeared and they realized there's a purpose in this valley. Amen? There's a purpose in this valley. And there's a purpose in your valley too. There's a big old purpose. You don't go through the valleys alone. The valleys stink, but there's a purpose in those valleys. There really is. But do we see it? Can we catch it? I wrote this down. I want to share it with you. It says, God doesn't cause every valley on purpose, but there's a purpose in every valley. Let me say that again. It should be up there for you. God doesn't cause every valley on purpose. But there's a purpose in every valley. So what I'm not saying is that God creates valleys for you to walk through so that you can grow, but he allows you to walk through valleys so that you can. Amen? That's a different way to think about it. He allows you to go through valleys so that you can grow on purpose. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says it like this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. It didn't say just the mountaintops. It says the valleys too. It says God in all things, the goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the hilltops or the deep pits that you feel like you're never going to get out of. It says in all things, he works for the good of who? Of who? those who love him. So I'm not preaching a false gospel of if you don't love him, God's going to use you. No, for those, it makes it clear. Love God, he'll work that valley out. You will learn in it. And he can work all things out together for the good. We have to come to know him and to love him. And it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. So God doesn't cause every valley on purpose, but there is a purpose in every valley. Do you see it? When you think back to the way I had you begin this message, the valley you thought you were in or that you are in, God didn't cause it, but he's going to make a purpose out of it. If you'll let him, he'll help you grow there. Amen? There's a great prophet named Torrin Wells. You ever heard of him? Very few of you got that joke. Torrin Wells is He's a worship singer. He's got a song on K-Love and Air One that he sings that I started thinking about as I started preparing for this message. We're not going to sing it. But he says it like this. He says, on the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. And in the valleys, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know that I am not alone. You're the God of the hills and valleys. Hills and valleys. God of the hills and valleys, he is. I am not alone. The bridge part of the song says, and this is what we have to understand, Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all, you will remain over it all. I'm the God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys. Love the song. Go look it up. Torrin Wells. It's a great song. No matter where you find yourself, God is with you. God is with us in our valleys. Today, the big idea really is God is with us in our valleys, and that the absence of mountaintops does not equal the absence of God, but that God is with you in your valleys. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. We're all going through things. We've all remembered the place that we were at. And it hurt. But God was with you there. And that's the message we need to be telling our friends and family. That's the message. This Christmas season, tell that message. When Sally, Susie, or Johnny Boy call you up and they want to spew this negativity and valley perspective, breathe back into them that God's with you, with them even there. Show them something new this year. That God is with us in our valleys. Amen. Will you stand up? Let's pray about this. Maybe you find yourself in a valley this morning that you need to pray on your own about. And ask God, hey, God, help me to fix my eyes or fix my mind and set my eyes on you. Help me, Lord, in this valley. It's a deep one I've been struggling with for a while. And I need to see you in it, Lord. This is your time to do that. You can come up to the altars, grab your person beside you, hug them and pray together, whatever you want to do, respond and sing. But this is your time to see that maybe, God didn't give you that valley on purpose, but there's a purpose in your valley. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. We thank you, God, that you would send your son to us. Father, help us to understand that you are with us today in our valleys. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond in worship.
Thank you for joining us here at the Knoxville First Church Podcast. We loved having you, and we hope you will come back next week for another great teaching. I would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 6708 Westland Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you would like to contribute and give to this ministry, go to www.knoxfirstchurch.com/give. See you next week.